الحمد لله وكفى وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم، مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطال من طيبهن القاع والحكم، روح الفدا بقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه الأطاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. I see that watch is showing 10 to 7, so we still got a long time to go. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our Honorable Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, and the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Hazrat says, before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss three sunnah, discuss a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, with regard to namaz, three very valuable points I will suggest. Try and observe them and see how valuable our namazes will become. Whether it's a nafil namaz, sunnah namaz, faraz namaz, they will become extremely valuable. One is, for every amal, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that we do that amal imanan wa ihtisaba. What does this mean? That have this in your, it is in your mind, but bring it to the fore of your mind. Become conscious that this amal, this namaz I'm making, Allah has commanded with me. And I'm fulfilling the command of Allah Ta'ala. If we will do that, then abdiyat, the becoming a slave of Allah, will come into us. And if we don't do it like that, that we just doing a namaz, we just came and we just made our namaz, we went away, then we won't get that abdiyat coming into us, that we are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. So that is a very, and a person, and the greatest position by Allah Ta'ala is to be a slave of Allah Ta'ala. And the greatest favors Allah bestows upon a person when he becomes a true slave of Allah. No pride, no haughtiness, humble, down to earth. Allah loves that person. See, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the revelation of the Qur'an Sharif, what a great ni'mat, the Qur'an, the final kitab. Allah Ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. When abdiyat was complete in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah blessed him with the greatest kitab, the Qur'an Sharif. When Allah Ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Mi'raj, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. This abdiyat again, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so humble, then Allah Ta'ala lifted him to the highest place, to Mi'raj, where even Jibreel alayhi salam, who used to bring all the wahi, he said, from this point, if I go to the extent of one hair more in front, I will be burnt and brought down to ashes. There our Nabi. And all that was on abdiyat. How much of humbleness we get into us. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam,
Allah physically raised him and he is living today in the heavens because of his abdiyah. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجْعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجْعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأُصَانِ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. What a bayan, when he was a small little boy just born, and the people accused his mother Maryam alayhi salam of committing adultery, etc. She said, don't ask me, ask this boy. He said, you who are big and can speak, you don't want to give evidence? And the small boy who has just been born, and you say we must ask him for evidence? She said, let him speak. And he spoke such that till today in the world nobody can speak like this. What a bayan he gave. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. So abdiyah is a very great thing. So our namazes, whenever we make that namaz, إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا, that are fulfilling, keep this in our mind, that the law of Allah, Allah's command I'm fulfilling. And ihtisaba, that I will be rewarded for. So if we make our namaz, if somebody works for you and doubts you're going to pay him, what kind of work will he do? If the people, one imam sahab, you made imamat in one place, and it was famous, those mutawallis, the committee, they don't pay the imam. So the imam made namaz for 1 month, no wages take, 2 months, they say, we'll pay you next month. So he had doubts also. So then, afterwards, 3 months, they didn't pay. He said, I'm leaving, I'm going. They say, you want to leave, you can leave. He say, my wages? They say, oh, well, you made excuses. So he says, okay, 3 months, I also made namaz without wuzu. So you must repeat your 3 months namaz. So when you have doubts, then this kind is our answer. But if you have yaqeen, so ihtisaba, that Allah is going to reward you on this namaz, then see the quality of that namaz. And by Allah Ta'ala, how Allah will reward. Not only how much Allah has promised to give, we cannot imagine how much Allah has promised. If you are working for your boss, he's watching you, or there's a CCTV all the time and you know he's watching you, and you know that the boss is a good boss and he's generous also, and you do your work diligently and he's watching you, you know, he's going to give you a good bonus also, because you're doing it. Allah is watching us all the time. And if we're doing our work from inside also, with that conviction, with that devotion, with that concentration, Allah, but we can't imagine what Allah will give us. But if we're doing it half-heartedly, we are doing it under duress, our wife is forcing us, go for namaz, you're so lazy, you don't make namaz. We're doing it for their children because their parents, they will start forcing them, they're doing their namaz half-heartedly. And many such people make without wuzu also namaz. They don't want to make. What is the value of that namaz? And that namaz, you know, you are fulfilling the command of Allah. And Allah is going to be happy and is going to reward you. So just repeat these words when we start our namaz. Imano wa ihtisaba. And keep this in mind, this little explanation. The other is, when we start our namaz, say these words, I'm making salatan muwadda'i, the last namaz of my life. Make a namaz, think, this is, and when you think, don't worry, you won't die. Many people, they think, if I think of maut, malakul maut, oh, you thought of me, I'm here, I'm ready to take this. You'll only die on your time. Maut won't come a minute earlier, it won't come a second later. It will come on its time. But if we make this, that this is the last namaz of my life. If anybody for sure knows, this is my last namaz, but how much care won't he make it? His wuzu he'll make properly. How much of concentration and devotion, this is my last namaz. And al-ibratu bil-khawati, how your end comes, that is your full judgment will be made on that. So my last namaz, every namaz if we start making like that, not a few days, a few namazes, and our namazes will go from 0 to 100%. What quality will come in our namaz if we just think this is the last namaz of my life? So two things. And one additional thing, for those people who get a lot of doubts in their namaz, other thoughts also, with no concentration, doubts about our rakats also, doubts about whether I got wuzu, all these doubts which come into a person. A person who gets that, then as a remedy for that, before namaz, read the surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. What a surah it is, that you are taking protection from Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas, three great qualities of Allah you are taking protection. Not from three people, from one being, from Allah Ta'ala. But three great qualities, Malik al-Nas, Ilahi al-Nas, Kul a'udhu bi Rabbi al-Nas, Malik al-Nas, Ilahi al-Nas. And you're taking his protection, means Sharri al-Waswas al-Khannas. All these evil whisperings of Khannas, of Shaitan. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri al-Nas. Who is always this whisperings is putting in the hearts of mankind. Min sharri fi sudurina min al-jinnati wan-nas. People's whisperings, your own whisperings you're thinking, and what terrible things a person sometimes thinks of in namaz. And Allahu Akbar, namaz was mi'raj, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. It's not a hadith, but it's a fact that namaz is your mi'raj. But when we spoil our namaz, we bring it to asfar al-safil, to the lowest level. What filthy things we think about. Sometimes a person, the patterns on the musalla, now your mind starts working out all the patterns there. And if you just think, what was namaz and what I made my namaz about? You are making namaz and now you are thinking about going to the toilet. You are thinking about woman. You are thinking about other things. Then you should think that namaz was such a great thing. Mi'raj namaz is. And I was spoiling it. I brought it so low down, in this way our namaz will become valuable. So, and the third thing, this was for those people who get doubts. Otherwise it is iman wa ihtisaba and salatim muwadda'in, the last namaz of my life. And when we make salam, when we make salam on this side, make salam, and the malaika sitting here, kiram and katibin. And make salam to the kiram and katibin. Little children, they complain, if you make salam, and now you somebody came and speak, you're speaking to them. The child goes and complain at home also, that what kind of a maulana is that? He's making me salam and he's not looking at me also. Kiram and katibin, the intelligence of Allah Ta'ala, the CIDs of Allah Ta'ala, who are posted here. If the receiver sends his man to your, or to your, or to your shop, to your, or to your factory, your workplace, and they come in, they say, we want to see how you operate. What your income, your cash you're taking, your checks are coming, what deposits you are making, how you are making your payments, we want to watch you for 1 week. You tell the wife also, make the best samosas of your life. Hey, make the best biryani, that they must write a good report. This is just for the receiver. And people are so frightened for the receiver, unless the receiver who is there. And kiram and katibin, we don't worry one bit, and they are noting everything down. So if we make at least look at them, this is also mustahab. When we make our salam, look at your shoulders. Some of us, we go a little front and we look this side. Like we want to check who came for namaz today, who didn't come. Our work is not to take roll call who is coming for namaz. Malakul Maut takes roll call. And who he finds regular in Jamaat namaz, then at the time of Maut, Malakul Maut reminds him to read Kalima. And then takes his roll. That's not our work, that's Malakul Maut's work. But we make our salam like that. So look here at your shoulders. And also medically, the best exercise for the heart is to turn your head completely like this. And you look at your shoulders. That is the best exercise. Our namaz is not for exercise. But how many rakats, fajr, two salams you make. Zohar, how many salams you make. Asr, how many salams you make. All that is an exercise for the heart all the time. But if we do it properly, some of us, like in a proud way, we just turn our head little. Like we're not interested also, just like this, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. No, properly, like this, as a slave. Do your namaz also, as a slave, turn your head fully and look on your shoulder. Don't look further also. And this side also, make a big salam and look here. If we do that, two great benefits we will get. One is, when we have this yaqeen, and every time we are making salam to the farishtas, who we can't see with our eyes, the akhirat will come in front of us. Then a person's life will change automatically. Like now, autumn season, we were coming in Bronco Street, we were driving, the sidewalks are full with leaves. Nobody can take a stick and knock on the tree. The leaves just fall down by themselves. The minute a person will get haqiqat of akhirah. He won't have to give up gunas. Gunas will leave him. He won't have to be tarikul zam, giving up gunas. He will be matrukul zam. And in this autumn season, a person's back gets broken, picking up the leaves. They just falling all the time. Gunas will fall off from us like that. When akhirat will be in front, we won't have to make an effort to give up gunas. Many people feel, I got this bad habit, that bad habit. The minute akhirat, the life of the qabr, the day of qiyamah, jahannam, jannat comes in front of us, that person, gunas will just fall off. His life will change automatically. So to make that the farishta, so one benefit. The other benefit that we will get, that we will, our yaqeen will build. Every salam that we make, our yaqeen will increase all the time. That the system of the world which is running, cause and effect. You get sick, you take medicine, you get better. You're hungry, you eat food, your stomach gets full. You are thirsty, you drink water, your thirst is gone. The cause and effect, which is a system of this world. But over the system is another system of Allah Ta'ala. And that system overrides the system. And it supersedes the system. And sometimes we experience it. You're feeling very hungry, but afterwards your hunger is gone. Just suddenly when Allah's system, by Allah's command, Allah took away your hunger. Sometimes you eat, you're taking medicine, you're not getting better. You give up your medicine, you get better. That system of Allah Ta'ala is working. That is, so your yaqeen will come on that system also. At the moment, a Muslim should have 100% yaqeen on that system. But unfortunately, we also have become very weak. And like the kuffar, non-believers, who haven't got an idea of that system. They don't believe it. They don't know about it. We know about it, but our yaqeen is not on that. Our yaqeen is on this system. When our yaqeen will come on that system, then see that how our lives will change. So three main things. Beginning of namaz, one thing, imanu wa ihtisaba. That this namaz, whether it's a nafil namaz, sunnat namaz, it's the command of Allah at that level. And I'm fulfilling Allah's command. Abdiyat will come into a person. That namaz will become valuable. The other, salatin muwadda'. The last namaz of my life. Our namaz's qualities will go up so tremendously. And when we make salam, make niyat of the farishtas here. Then see, inshallah, alimul ghayb will open up to us. It will become to us like alimul shahada, as though we are seeing the akhirah. And then a person who knows about the qabr, etc., about the day of qiyamah, he will automatically, gunas will leave his life. He won't be able, even if he wants to, he can't commit gunas. And then also the other is that the system of Allah, which presently is over our system, will have yaqeen on that system. And a person who gets connected to that system, he is on the, that is a system that supersedes this, overrides this. Like for example, on your computer, you know, doing many things, but there are certain things which you don't know, which the people who are more advanced, they just override it. Your personal code doesn't help also. They override everything and they can, from where, from around the world, anywhere, they can get into your computer. And they can see your whole history, what your computer, what things you have got. So Allah's system is much more superior. And Allah's system overrides the system. So Allah give us tawfiq from it, inshallah. This ayat of the Quran Sharif I've recited. There are three things which Allah mentions. We'll just explain them. Try and be as brief as possible. And the end will be over. Nothing so long also. So Allah has mentioned in this ayah three things. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. First, O you who believe. The second thing, ittaqullah. Have taqwa. And the third thing, kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Be with the truthful and be with the rightful people. Three things Allah has commanded. In the first thing, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, there are three things that we should keep in mind. One is realize that, see, I don't know in whose heart there is iman. And you don't know whether there is iman in my heart. Outwardly, we all, everyone is a Muslim here, we accept it. You all accept me also as a Muslim, we are all mu'mineen, we are all Muslimin. But it could be there is something else in the heart, only Allah knows. But Allah, who is alimul ghayb wa shahada, who knows everything,
Allah has addressed us. Allah has given us this address. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who believe. All of us who are sitting here, we know that this address, I'm the addressee. Allah is addressing me. So, what a royal address it is from Allah Ta'ala. And what an address which is, what is it, universities give a certificate just like that?
Honorary.
Allah is giving us an honorary that you have got Imam. And you, it's a royal address from Allah Ta'ala. If the king addresses you, the president of the country, and he gives you some big titles, how happy don't you feel? Ordinary people, when they praise you, they give you some big titles, you feel happy. Allah is giving you the biggest title, that you are the people of Iman. Today we don't know the value. So that is the first point, that is, it's the address from Allah Ta'ala. It's an honorary address. It's a royal address which Allah Ta'ala is giving us. And then, secondly, let us realize the value of this Iman. To understand that one simple way, if there is a man in the world, he's in the prime of his life. He's got all the money of the world. All the buildings, aeroplanes, ships, everything belongs to him, the mines. Whatever you can think belongs to him. His health, 100%. Not a little bit of headache also, anything he's got. All the women of the world are for him. He can use whichever woman as he wants to. Everything of the dunya, but he hasn't got iman. Compare him to a person who is sick, who is ill, terribly ill, every disease. Poorest person in the world. He lost his family, he lost all his wealth, he lost everything. And he's only got one iota of iman, not complete and perfect iman. Only one iota of iman. Wallah, this person is better than billions or like those people. That is the value of this iman. Iman is our passport to Jannah. Today, if a person, we know many people who come to South Africa, they try and get citizenship here. People go to UK, people go to Europe, to America, and you get your green card. Like I got something even better than Jannah. I got my green card. And here also, when people, the papers come right, they had refugee status, or whatever they were, workers, and now they got their citizenship. Now they got their passport. How happy don't they become? And the person, when he gets his visa for a country, I got visa of that country, I got it right, I got my visa. How happy he becomes. Allah, without any effort from our side. Even a person who is a believer, really it is not his effort. It's Allah's favors. Allah gave him the tawfiq to become a Muslim. Those of us who are born in Muslim homes, what they gave of Allah. Allah gave us the passport of Jannah without applying also. Without making any effort, without making dua also. And Allah gave us the visa of Jannah. And you know, a person, when he's doing foreign travel, the most thing that he's worried about, passport. All the time. He makes sure his passport is on its place. Repeatedly he touches his pocket, my passport is there or not. He's worried of his passport. Allah gave us the passport of Jannah. Who of us worries about it? That whether my iman is intact. And it comes in the hadith that a time will come in my ummah, a person will get up in the morning as a mu'min. By the night his iman, he lost his passport of iman. And a person at night will be a mu'min. By the morning he will have lost his iman. And today we know what is happening. Now no more you have to go to nightclubs or to go to brothels or go to escort agencies. They brought it right in your bedroom. All the filth and dirt is there. A person is watching all this. We don't know when that iman is lost. And a person who lost his passport of iman doesn't know about it. A person who lost his passport, South African passport, you went to India, you went for Umrah, you lost your passport, now you start working. Phone home, phone the embassy, try and get another temporary passport. Something you try and do. But we have lost our passport of iman and we don't know. And when Malakul Maut will come, then immigration is now taking place. Now we're looking for our passport. No passport of iman. We haven't got our visa of Jannah, we lost it. What will be our condition? So realize the importance of this. And the third thing, to look after this iman. Make it an object in our life. Who of us thinks whether my iman is intact?
This is, we're living in such a time that really every night or every morning or both times, read our kalimas again. Refresh our iman again. To iman, a person commits adultery and iman goes out of a person. Right? And adultery is adultery of the eyes also. That is the adult, looking at other woman is adultery of the eyes. Adultery of the hands, holding the hand, touching another woman's hand. Adultery of the tongue, speaking. Whether you're speaking on the phone, you're speaking to another woman. You're flirting with her, even innocently. You don't mean anything, but it is totally haram. In the aeroplane, you flirt around with the hostess, and you're thinking, oh, I got good akhlaq, character. That I'm very, I know I make jokes all the time. But you don't know if your iman is there or not. And we're hardly checking whether our iman is there or not. So it's not a small matter, it's a very serious matter. A Pakistani doctor of Multan was practicing in Karachi, and this is about perhaps 40, 50 years ago. He says in his hospital, when people on their dying, they're all Muslims. 100 people he noted that he read Kalima and he must read Kalima. Only 3 read Kalima. 97 spoke about dunya and about things of dunya and about, some of them spoke openly about guna things at the time of Jamal. And the Ruh went out in that condition without Kalima. Right? He writes also that there was an engineer, and this engineer had a son that was retarded, mentally he was affected. One day the worker forgot, and he was so bad he had to be locked up in chains, that son, otherwise he would damage and break things. So one day the worker forgot to lock him up, and he caused a lot of damage in the house. Then that engineer came with him to the hospital and told him, please do something, I'm sick and tired of the son. I wish he could be dead. Why Allah gave me the son? And he didn't believe in Allah. And he said, if there was Allah, then why is my son like this? Oh, the doctor calmed him down, cooled him down. But he was adamant. He had this, outwardly he's a Muslim, but inside he did not have the faith. He didn't have trust in Allah Ta'ala. Then in a few weeks or a few days, he had a project with this engineer. And where that project were, the people who were working on that project, they found right deep down a body that was 100% still intact. So he asked them to remove all the mud and everything and take out that body. It was realized this is a person who died some centuries ago. Mm. But his whole body is intact, his kafan is intact. Now he came to the doctor and said, now I believe in Allah. Doctor said, this iman of yours is not acceptable. Mm. You have brought iman with what you see with your eyes, not on the words of Allah, not on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the akhirah, at the time of maut, a person will see akhirah. He will say, Firaun brought iman in that time. Al-an, now you're bringing iman. This iman is not acceptable. We have to bring iman, not what we see with our eyes, what we hear, the what Allah has revealed. What Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And that goes from our ulama, from our ustaz, upwards, till the sahaba, till Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What they have told us, we accept it. We have iman, that is iman. What you see with your eyes and you bring iman, that hasn't got value by Allah Ta'ala. What your heart, you believe that yes, Allah is in existence, I've never seen Allah. And you don't wait for miracles to believe in Allah. You don't wait for miracles to believe in the life of the qabr, etc. With the conviction, what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, we bring iman to that. So this iman is a value. Allah has given us this honorary. Allah has given us this royal address that you people have got, the degree of iman you have got. It is the most valuable thing, and we must look after it. Be very conscious. Just ask ourselves, today one day has passed, Friday, who of us even thought whether my iman is still there? Other things, even your pen, where's my pen? I hid my pen here, where's my pen? What happened suddenly to my pen? And in the house, how we shout the wife, you put it away somewhere else, and you're shouting her, where's this of mine, where's that of mine? You put it away somewhere else, you're shouting her. For everything, small things of this dunya, you come in the house, where is this? I left it here. Where is it now? Small things of dunya we worry, but iman of who of us worry? That is the Muslim. A person of iman will worry of his. A person who made money in business, he worries that my money is safe or not.
A person who didn't make business, he hasn't got money, he doesn't worry.
If we got iman, we must worry about this iman. So iman is a very valuable thing. The second thing Allah Ta'ala said, ittaqullah. Acquired. And before that, these are three things Allah has mentioned in this ayah. And in the whole Quran Sharif also, three things Allah has mentioned abundantly. One is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Perhaps there isn't a page of the Quran Sharif where you won't read, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu.
So many times Allah has said it.
The other is the zikr of Allah. So much Allah has mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Alim, Fazail Amal, Fazail Zikr, right?
The most command of anything which Allah has given is the command of zikr.
And then again, not only zikr, zikran kathira,
zikr in abundance. And not only of zikr in abundance, after that,
wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. Read Allah's tasbih, morning and evening also.
So much we are commanded. If we have to consider how much Allah has commanded us for zikr. For Juma namaz, Allah says,
إِذَا نُودِيَ
لِصَلَاةِ بِيَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ
When you are called for the إِذَا نُودِيَ لِصَلَاةِ بِيَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ for the namaz of the day of the Jum'ah, rush to the zikr of Allah Ta'ala.
Then it refers actually to the khutbah. Rush, don't we stand, come to the, for the khutbah. But Allah said, إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ
اللَّهِ When you have finished your Jum'ah namaz, Allah called it zikr.
When you have finished, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا
Now seek of your rosy also, but don't forget, make Allah zikr in abundance.
When in the battlefield,
فَإِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَةً When you meet your opponents, the enemy, you meet them, then فَاذْكُرُوا Remain firm and solid, don't run away.
وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ Make Allah zikr there.
In Hajj, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ
When you come from Arafat, تَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ
Remember Allah Ta'ala in Muzdalifah, Mash'ar al-Haram.
And in Mina, then, what's the ayah? To remember Allah Ta'ala in Mina, as your forefathers used to remember Allah.
كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاكُمْ
كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدْنَ ذِكْرًا
How you remember your forefathers that they did this, that. Today we're so happy we in Wafis. We met Bhuti, and I think personally, 40 years ago, more than that, with his grandfather, and how lot of muhabbat they should make. We were small fries, and we still even more smaller fries. But they were such great people, seniors, but they should give us so much of respect, so much of khidmat they should do. So how we remember them, remember Allah more than that also. The Arabs had a habit in Mina, they should talk of their forefathers. And the whole history was in poetry they knew. And they should read it over the campfire, the whole history. In poetry they should read. Allah says, more than that, make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Every instance Allah says, make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. The second thing. The third thing which Allah has mentioned in abundance in the Quran Sharif, taqwa. And so much Allah has mentioned it, is sometimes in one ayah, two times. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Have taqwa. وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ Again taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهَ Have taqwa, Allah will teach you. If you have taqwa, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, great buzurg of Pakistan, himself mentioned there was one student of his, very weak, very weak. He just managed to scrape through and pass. And there had no hope of him doing anything. After about 17-20 years, the student invited Maulana to his madrasa. He established whole big darwinism. Maulana asked him, who's the Shaykh al-Hadith? He said, I am the Shaykh al-Hadith. Oh. What was that? On taqwa. Adab, respect. Always he used to put Maulana's shoes right. That was his work all the time. In learning he was very weak, but adab he had respect. And taqwa he had. Allah Ta'ala on taqwa yu'allimukum Allah. And how many? In tattaqullah yaj'al lakum furqana. If you have taqwa, Allah will give you furqana. Furqana, the ability to differentiate what is right, what is wrong. What is more better, what is less better. What should I do now? What is preferable, what is not preferable? Allah will bless you. And so much Allah will bless you, Allahu Akbar. Not only for your own personal self, you'll be a maulana, you are a buzurg, what people call. But people will come to you for mashura for their medical problems. You're not a doctor. What do you know about medical? But they say, no, maulana, you tell us. Please, you give us care, you make istikhara for us. And istikhara, nobody can make for somebody else. You have to make your own istikhara. But they come, please, maulana, make, maulana, please see for us. Who can see? Nobody can see. Alimul Ghaib is only Allah who knows. But people have got this wrong aqidah. Maulana, you must see for us if this is good for you. Why? What Maulana knows about your medical problem? What Maulana knows about your business? But because of taqwa, that Maulana, you got taqwa, you Allah guides. Allah is with you. You will be able to help us. So much benefit of taqwa. And how many other ayats also on taqwa? So, and what is taqwa? Taqwa is that ability, that capability, that quality within a person to observe the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and to stay away from what Allah has made haram. That is all simple language taqwa. If we go into the deep things, we won't understand also, and we just talk also, but we won't know what we are saying also. But simple taqwa is that you have that quality, and that quality is within you. That if we did not have the ability of taqwa, the quality of taqwa, Allah should not have commanded us to have taqwa. La yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. Only what you can do. If Allah commanded us to have taqwa, and which means to stay away from guna, to fulfill the commandments of Allah, but we don't have the ability, then na'uzubillah, we will say Allah is an oppressor. He gave us a law, He told us to do something, and He hasn't put that capability in us to do it. So that we have that. Now what does it mean you must acquire taqwa? When you have that potential within you, what does it mean? It only means one thing, kindling. Rust has come over it. Sand has come over it. And sawdust has come over it. Remove it. And for that, you cannot do it yourself. But guarantee, you need somebody to remove it from you. And that is, kunum as-sadiqin. Be with the, that's why Allah commanded, be with the true servants of Allah Ta'ala. They will remove that rust from your heart. And the potential of taqwa is that Allah has given it to everyone. Now it will be kindled. It will be lit. You light it up now. And you, wallah, I say, you the person you think, me, I can't stay away from looking at other women. I can't stay away from this guna. I can't stay away from that guna. My anger, when I go mad in my anger, I don't see anyone and nobody can stop me. But just let this taqwa, the light of taqwa be kindled, and you will be shocked how your condition changes. And you will be surprised that I who thought I can never change, how I have changed. So for that, go to the people of taqwa. Those who know sadiqin. Those people who are sadiq fit taqwa. Actually, if we have to see logically, Allah Ta'ala should have said that you have to acquire taqwa, so kunu ma'al muttaqin. If you want to become an engineer, don't go to a medical college. How are you going to become an engineer in a medical college? Go to an engineering school, engineering college. If you want to become a doctor, don't go to the shoemaker. He's not going to make you a doctor. Go to the place where you can become a doctor. To the medical college, to the university. So for taqwa, go to those people who have got taqwa. But Allah didn't say, kunu ma'al muttaqin. Allah said, kunu ma'al sadiqin. And that was also the great, great favor of Allah Ta'ala. The reason for that is, check out. When you want that, you want taqwa to come into you, who you intend going to, the doctor you want to make, your spiritual doctor, make sure that he is a true doctor. He's not a fake. He's not a fly-by-night. He's not just an imposter. Because in this field of the tasawwuf especially, lot of fakes there and lot of frauds. And so easy to become, just to dress like a big buzurg, with a big amama, big jubba, and your colorful clothes, and big tasbih that you put around you, and the way it looks, oh, there's no buzurg like this in the world. So don't be a jack. Like in the Quran Sharif, right at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Oh Allah, show us the straight path. And where are you going to get that straight path? You won't be able to do it on your own. So immediately, which according to Arabic grammar is called badal kull, the next ayat totally replaces the meaning of this ayat here. That is, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Those people on whom you have faith. So that is kitabullah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. But how you and who you have to follow? For every person to follow the Quran, we don't know Arabic. For everyone to learn Arabic. And Arabic is not enough. For Quran Sharif to know the tafsir. And to be able to understand Quran Sharif, not looking at other tafsir. Tafsir you make, there is so much of knowledge. How much? It's beyond our capacity. So Allah made it easy, follow Rijalullah. The men of Allah are everywhere present. Follow them. But check the man of Allah on the Kitab of Allah. The broad principles of Quran Sharif, five times namaz, whether the man is making his five times namaz, whether he is observing parda from woman, whether he's a liar, he's an imposter, just basic things check out that person. So these are the people who are sadiq with taqwa, who have genuinely got taqwa. Be with those people. Don't be taken for a ride in the spirit. There are more than enough, very sadly, in our country now, before we should talk of other countries, in our country, such mashayikh are coming from abroad, that they make the murids in a dancing way, in a form of ruku, they come and make salam with the sheikh, which is totally haram. They make zikr in a circle and people dance around in there. Our South Africans are doing it. Unbelievable. And the sheikh has a majlis and all women sitting there. And the woman come and kiss his hands. And they touch his body. And they all come and kiss it. So all these false things, that is, there is no place in Islam and Sharia. And this is such a delicate thing, because when people become the genuine murids, they have true aqidah. And then if the person himself is not strong, he uses that for himself, for his nafsani khaishah, to extract money from the people, to extract respect from people. He uses that all for himself. This is a common thing. So Allah stressed that not to kunu ma'al muttaqeen, who look like muttaqeen, but those who are kunu ma'al saliqeen, who are saliq bit taqwa. Check out. Don't just become bad to a person. Stay for a while. Get references from people. What do you think about this person? Stay with him for a while. Check him out in his private life, in his public life, while he's at home, while he's on a safar, etc. Check him out. And then when you get satisfaction, then become bay'at to such a person. Don't just that you have been heard, like in Pakistan, our Shaykh Rahmatullah, they said, two people from Saudi Arabia came to Pakistan, and they put adverts in the newspaper that become bay'at with us. We are like this, and we are like this, everything. Somebody came and asked our Shaykh, that should we become bay'at to these people, such profile of theirs, what big profile, and their photos also. So I will say, those who put their photos, which is haram in Sharia, what you going to get from such people? And then also, Hadrat said, ask them, have they got a sheikh? So they found out, they got no sheikh. They just became sheikh on their own. Murabba jam. In Urdu we say, for to make murabba, we need a murabbi, a person who makes the jam. And the jam that just got made by itself. So that is not reliable. The jam has just got made by itself. Somebody who made the jam. So then Hadrat said, La ta'khuduhu baba, man la baba. Don't take that person as your father who hasn't got a father. If somebody hasn't got a father and is claiming to be a father, you have to have a father. And this is in dunya also, every person has to have a father. Some small children, when the father passed away, they come to madrasa, who's your father? I got no father. No, that is a wrong statement. How come you have a father? From where you came? Besides Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there's no second Isa. That you came in this world without a father. You say, my father passed away. Or my parents separated. But don't say, I haven't got a father. You have to have a father. The same way realize in deen also you have to have a father. Those people who haven't got a father from whom they took their deen, from their elders. And the chain goes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it is, and in two things, Allah has given great distinction, and Allah has distinguished and made honorable
Islam and Muslims in two particular fields. One is in hadith. Our sunnah goes right to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Any person who is an alim who graduated in a darul ulum, you ask him, well, who is your ustad, his ustad, and he will be able to give you, tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My father, I can say who's my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, but afterwards I get lost. And most of us, we will know perhaps to our grandfather, some of us will know to our great-grandfather. But perhaps, definitely, after that, we are lost. We don't know our ancestry. But in hadith, alhamdulillah, till today it is kept 100% intact. And in tasawwuf, a person who is a sheikh, who is his sheikh and who is his sheikh, till Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, between me and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are 40 days. Exactly 40. And alhamdulillah, our ancestry to in tasawwuf is also sabit and proven till Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that person who's got a father and whose ancestry goes till Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from there through Jibreel alayhi salam to Allah ta'ala. That is what we have got till today. So make such a person your sheikh who has got his ancestry also. Who has got a father and who's got a father and who goes. So kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be with the rightful and the truthful people. And those people who have got this taqwa. And this automatically wipes off onto a person. And we ourselves, we say, we tell our children, see, you must keep good company. Why? Because good company will make you good. And we tell them, don't keep bad company. Bad company will make you bad. Some other children who got habit of vulgar language, who lie a lot, who got bad habits, we tell our children, keep away from them. We admit ourselves that sohbat company has got effect. We stay with good people. Stay with good friends. Those who are regular with their namaz. Those who are not vulgar. Those who are honest, etc. So all, whoever you stay with, that quality comes and it rubs off onto you. And in the kitabs we read this beautiful example. If you sit by a blacksmith, a person who works with his steel and iron, his furnace is burning, and then he knocks on the iron and that, if you sit there, if that flame doesn't touch you, the smoke will definitely touch you. And if you sit by a person who sells attar, perfume, and he doesn't give you perfume, but the smell you will definitely get. So whoever's company we keep, that will come. So Allah said, "Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen." One murid of Maulana Thani rahmatullah alayh wrote to Maulana, I got a lot of anger. My anger is over the limit. Too much anger. And I wrote back, there is one alim in your town, Allahabad, who's got a bookshop, kitabs he sells. Go and sit with him every day for 40 days. Sit with him and be with him. So he started after Asr. Every day he went, he sat. After 40 days he wrote to Maulana, Maulana, 90% of my anger is gone. But I don't understand. I sat with Maulana every day, but not one day he told me one ayat about anger, one hadith, or he told me it's bad, it's not good to have anger, etc. He didn't tell me one word. He used to carry on with his work. Customers used to come and buy, sells in the kitab, orders that came, which he had to send off by post, making the parcels, getting them ready, sending off. All that is to do, right? So I don't understand. And 90% of my anger is gone. Maulana replied and said, 90% is gone, you keep on going there. Till 100% your anger is gone. And the other thing Maulana said, the reason for this is that sohbat. You just sit by him. A person who has gone, who is mild in his nature, and you sit with him. And this is what a person has to take from a sheikh. Many of us, we make a big mistake here on this. We go to the sheikh to get knowledge. We say, oh, the sheikh haven't got much knowledge. So he's not fit to be a sheikh. Or we go for a'mal to see how much of amal that sheikh makes the hajjud the whole night. That sheikh keeps roza every day, every second day. That sheikh makes this ibadah. But to go to a sheikh is not for ibadah. It is for kaifiyat ihsan. That sifat which is in his heart. That is what we have to go. And if you take from that, you go, that my sheikh, that what qualities he got, humbleness. Humbleness will come in. If you make that niyyah, innama al-a'malu bil-niyyah, all actions, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, a person will only get that what he made niyyah for.
So we make niyyah that the qualities of my Shaykh, his humility, his humbleness, his ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, his hilm, his tolerance, he doesn't become angry, then these qualities. If we don't make that niyyah also, we go there just we sit, that's all. Then we just sit and we come away. And we go there to get knowledge. Then we will go with some knowledge. And many people come, learn points of the bayah. And they make a note of that also. Eh? Whether they write it down there, or they record it and they go in here, but only for bayah. So from words, words will spread. But those who take it for their heart, to change their life, and they make that clear, that is sufficient, and a person will change. Otherwise, mashayikh have written, that there are people who spend their whole life with the Shaykh. The Khadim-e-Khas, his special attendant, but they benefited zero. They did not get any benefit. One Ali himself says, I stayed 35 years with Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah. He was the Shaykh al-Hadith in Sarai Amir, in Hazrat's Madrasa. He was the right-hand man of Maulana Phulpuri. Everything. But he says, and Hakim Akhtar Sahib came, and in a few years he took what I couldn't even think about. Because he says, I was doing everything, but my niyat was not to take what Maulana Phulpuri had in his heart. My niyat was to teach in the madrasa, my niyat was to do the administration work in the madrasa, and I did it perfectly, very good. So he was so close, in and out by Maulana, which other people never had the opportunity. In and out, and knowing all Maulana's results in doing the work, running the madrasa, the payments, the income, everything. But he said, I benefited zero. Because he did not make niyat of what actually was supposed to be taken from him. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib, our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, went with the niyat to take what Allah had blessed Hazrat Maulana Phulpuri was. And Hazrat took Allahu Akbar, his full Shaykh. And he took it from the heart, and the world can see today how, in fact, how so much that when afterwards Maulana Phulpuri also came to Pakistan, our Shaykh also came to Pakistan. And he was in the khidmat of his Shaykh. Once they went to Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullahi. And after some time, Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri saw Hazrat's kitab, the commentary, the sharaf of Matlabi Sharif of Maulana Rum rahmatullahi. When Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri saw that, he says, I can't believe it. That man who should come as a khadi, not even as a khadi, but as a worker of Maulana Phulpuri rahmatullahi. And how he used to, with his trouser halfway up by his ankles, his trouser is up above, and so simple, and so humble. And I saw him to be like a nothing. He is zero, he's got nothing. But when I saw his kitab, I got a shock. And Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah Ali said at that time, La farqa baynaka wa bayna Maulana Rum. There is no difference between you and Maulana Rum. Maulana Rum, the world. Christians acknowledge him, Hindus acknowledge him, of course Muslims acknowledge him. What a great position. Maulana Abdul Rashid, Mufti Rashid Ludhiani rahmatullah, what a great buzurg also. One time he quoted Hazrat Hakim Sahib's poem in Farsi, Persian, all Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi's work is in Persian. And he said there's the poem of Maulana Rumi rahmatullah, which was the poem of our Shaykh. Our Shaykh found out and informed Hazrat, that's not Maulana Rum's poem, that is my poem. So much of a compatibility Allah has given him. Why all this? Because he took from his Shaykh what he went to do. He loved him in simple, in a humble way. Like a slave he lived with Hazrat. But then Allah gave him his position. And then today we see Allah Ta'ala made Hazrat's fares and his barakah and his nur spread in the four corners of the world. So this is what a person will kunu ma'as-salihin. With those people who are the true servants of Allah, and you also must have that capacity to take from them. And take the right things from them. If you go in a jewelry shop and you want, and you say, I want millimeter, 2 kilos, millimeter. They say, but you went to the wrong place. You are at the wrong place. Here we don't sell millimeter. We sell diamonds and we sell pearls and we sell jewels here in the jewelry shop. So you go by a great chef and you go and buy some small little things. Mm. What you have to take from there, that is what you must take. Also to understand that, like some great alim comes to our town. Now his greatness is in, for example, in hadith. Somebody is upset. Somebody is pirat, he reads beautiful. Somebody not sharif, he reads beautiful. Somebody bayan. Now a person who is an experienced muhaddith, shaykhul hadith, and you tell him to sing naats for him. And he doesn't know how to sing naats. He hasn't got a voice also. And now you say, oh, this man is useless. The whole world say, so big shaykhul hadith, but he can't sing one naat also. Or you tell him to read pirat. He's not. A qari comes, now don't ask him to give hadith sabah. What the person, so by Mashayikh, understand what we have to take, and also remember this very clearly and importantly, it is not what they got, it is your yaqeen what they have got. Ana inda dhanni abdi. Allah says, I treat my banda according to what he has. If in your heart it comes, this man is a pious man. He has got taqwa. He has got love of Allah. He has got marifat. And you stay with him according to your thinking. Whether that person is like that or not, according to your thinking, Allah will give it. And it can be the greatest wali actually, but you don't have a faith in it. You don't have the trust in him. You can stay your life, you won't benefit from it. Because you have made a mental block, a block from your heart. You have put a veil between you and him. That this man is just an ordinary man. He is nothing. That is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who can, and what doubt can there be in the, and nusus, pure, the ayats of Quran, and what position? But Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, what did they benefit? Zero, nothing. And what a great man. But those who had aqidah, Bilal came from Abyssinia. Suhaib came from Rome. And all the great sahaba. But they had that aqidah, where did they reach? They became guiding stars of the Ummah. Because, so it is what is within you. How much you have got. In Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayh, used to speak very, very little. In Ramzan, one, two instances you should mention himself. Otherwise, other ulama should do the program, something that should only sit and listen. One particular instance, there was a very great Shaykh. He passed away, and his son, he didn't follow up at all. He was all in evil. What evil woman he was staying, and gambling, and all evil. But because he was the son, all the murid said, Hazrat, you be now the Hazrat's son. You have to take the position. So, man, they made him Gadda Nashir. He became, he now said, he's the big buzurg now. And he knows nothing about all this. Two people came from so far to become bayat. Whatever way he made them bayat also. They asked for wazifa. Now what to read when you become wazifa? You became bayat, what prescription, what medicine that you give? So he had a piece of ground somewhere away from the city. He said, go there and you must plow that ground. Dig it. That's your wazifa. They had aqidat in them. Proper aqidat. They went to that place. And they were digging and digging. And in that Allah took them to such great heights. And then they thought after a few days, a week or so, that Allah has given us this great position. Where must our share be? That our chef, he put us here, he caused us to get this great, how high mustn't he be? And like we see, you look up until you fall back. Your topi falls off at the back. So high you looking, they couldn't see the chef. They came to chef and said, yeah, Allahu Akbar, what a position. We couldn't see you in your position. So high you are. Then Allah gave him tawfiq to make tawfiq. He said, what am I? I'm right at the bottom, maybe looking for me on top. I'm right here at the bottom. But that aqidah they had. And they made amal on that wazifa which he gave them. And where Allah Ta'ala made them. And by the barakat of that, he got the tawfiq of making tawbah, and then Allah put him on the right road. And where he reached also. So this is that aqidah that we must have. So for this, our example, like for example, here in Uwak, it's not such a big town, but I'm sure you got a hospital here. No. Clearly. You got a clinic, how many doctors you got here? All for medical care, so much intizam. So like for our physical body, a person got diabetic, a person got a tooth problem, a person got a headache, he goes for it. There is all provision, there is everything. Here in a small town like Wuhis, you'll have a bank here, you'll have how many banks also? You'll have car, motor car shops, you'll have supermarkets, your groceries, your day-to-day needs, all the things will be fulfilled here. But if you are spiritually ill, then is there any clinic here if you are spiritually ill? But that also we need a clinic.
And everywhere they have to be. And the patient has to come in. Like a patient goes to the doctor. He goes to the hospital. He admits himself. Then he's either an outpatient or inpatient. Inpatient, maybe he's an intensive care unit. Immediately you need operation. Emergency operation you need. So all these things are there for the physical body. For the ruh, for the soul, also we need this operation. And that is what we call a spiritual hospital, a khanqa. And the doctor in there is a spiritual doctor. And when I say spiritual doctor, I don't mean the spiritual doctors who put their funny adverts in the newspapers and they do Allahu Akbar. What things they do? And what they promise you what they can do? Bring your lost love back again. And lost love, bring it back. And all more than that also, what and what they can do. I'm not speaking of those spiritual doctors. I'm speaking of the spiritual doctor who will diagnose that how what level your iman is. What level of sincerity you have got. How much of pride you have got. And they will diagnose that and they will treat it. But this is for the person who takes admission to the hospital. A doctor also, a person who's walking on the street, he won't tell him, oh, I can see you've got pride how you're walking. Come, let me treat you. Or you've got sugar, let me treat you. No, you have to go to doctor. And then doctor will treat you. But if you don't go, your father is in hospital, your wife is in hospital, somebody very close, and you go 5 times a day to hospital to go and see them, take food, look after them, but you didn't take admission. The doctor is not going to treat you. Doctor can see your habits when you come, that this person here, he's got sugar, I can make out. This person got the blood pressure. I can see this person is heading for a stroke. I can make it out. But you didn't go and take admission, he's not going to treat you. If you take admission, and if you just go there just to see, if you go as a tourist to see the hospital, how the hospital, and they show you all the machines, you are VIP. They're giving you VIP treatment, showing you the cardiology department, and showing you the lung department, and showing you all the different departments and the machines they've got. But you didn't take admission, you won't be treated. And you take your admission, you will get. So the same way with our mashayikh, we keep friendship with them, we go and meet them also, even we give them some hadiah present also, but we didn't take admission, we didn't become bayat, they won't treat you. If you're just coming as a friend, you are just coming as an acquaintance, etc. In fact, the convention that we had in Azadra in January, and many people were coming and many negative things were being said about the convention. So I found a few ulama to take advice from them. Are we doing the right thing? Are we going in the right direction? One very close friend of mine, Maulana Usman Kadua from Zinto, he gave me such valuable advice. He told me, Maulana, these guests who are coming, they are your guests. And your duty is to make karam. Your duty is not their tarbiyah. They are not your murids. They are not your students. And this is what we saw in Jalalabad by Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali. That the guests were given a complete different treatment. They were given respect. They were given the best breakfast, the best lunch, everything. And no beard. Hazrat Ji didn't tell them anything about it. They came as guests. But the murid who came, his Islam was made. So that if we take admission by the Shaykh, then he has an interest. And he will correct us. And when he corrects us also, then if a person who wants to take treatment, the medicine that is given, he will take it immediately. And he won't feel offended, oh, Shaykh is telling me, he's referring to me. But he will be happy. He gave me my medicine. And today we see also many of our friends. There are some, mashallah, definitely there are quite a few. And they come, today's whole bayan was only for me. Whereas we didn't even think about them. We hardly knew they were present. The whole bayan was for me and I really appreciate I got my answers. I came with questions and I got my answers. And the others for whom it was meant, they don't even take notice of. And they all habits still carry on. How long we were in Mozambique and how to give a glass, that I for 8 days it took me to explain. Some hold the glass like this. Now, where must you hold the glass? So I explained, physically I explained, hold it at the bottom, the share to now, the person you give it can easily take it from on top. After 8 days, repeatedly, and openly, and I showed it also, then only it came right.
So many of us, we think, I don't need this. This is not for me, this is for others. I'm all right. As long as we got that attitude, we won't have it. A person who takes everything is for me. Fortunate is that person. And if he doesn't get offended, he's happy. He makes, he say, Jazakallah. All my diseases today were pointed out, and I'm happy you pointed them out. So a doctor who wants his patient to be perfect also, he takes care in every detail to give him. This medicine, it will cause that. So for that, this medicine will fight that. Okay? That is very important. Like for example, a banana is very healthy in the morning. But if it's winter, or a person has got a cold nature, he catches a cold very easily. Banana is cold also. So what the Hakim will do? You put a musliq also. Have honey with that banana. So he balances it up. For example, khajur is very good, but it's hot. So if you, now what you do, eat with cucumber khajur. Eat with butter khajur. Butter, cucumber is cold, khajur is hot. You must get the benefits, immense benefits in khajur, in dates, lot of benefit. But if you are hot by nature, it is summer also, and you eating khajur, it will come out in the form of rash on your body. It will come, you will get hot-headed, you will get irritable on small things. Now balance it. So the Hakim, a good doctor and a good Hakim will say, eat it with cucumber, eat it with butter. So the same way, if you making zikr of La ilaha illallah, which is afzal zikr, the best of zikr, but it's hot for you. And now it's making you think, I'm the biggest buzur. And now you want to claim nabuwat, that I'm a nabi also. So you need a balance for that also. So the share will balance it and give you your zikr according to your need. And then inshallah, when we get spiritual cure, we will see how good we feel. Any person who has got a disease like, whatever it can be, for example, weight is a disease, you are overweight, you are obese, it's bad. If somebody shows you a way and it works for you and you lose your weight, and now you come normal, how nice you feel. You're healthy, you are fit, you are, you can do everything. Just in the same way, our spiritual diseases. When we get relief of them, and wallah, for example, at the moment, it's a common disease, the guna of the eyes. And how many people, good people are involved. And till you don't make the effort to get rid of it, it won't just go on its own. And you make a concerted effort, a proper effort, and the person who gets relieved of it, that person will know that he's in Jannah. And what enjoyment he will get from his own wife. Today, the vast majority of us, we don't enjoy our wives. Just a formality, we even sleep with them just as a formality. And we get enjoyment in haram women. How many of us are sleeping with our halal wife and we thinking of haram women? No enjoyment, because this disease is in us. If that disease goes, wallah, I say, your wife, Allah will make her not only the most world of this dunya, the most beautiful woman, in your eyes you will see her more beautiful than the Huru in. And if you see your wife like that, what enjoyment will you get? Eh? Your life will be, what jannat you have in this world, that jannat will come on its time. So a person, and if we don't remove this disease of looking this lustful gazes, haram, lustful gazes at other women, our whole life we spend and we don't enjoy. With our halal life we won't enjoy. And there is a great fear. And many people die without kalima because of this guna. When we make it a hobby to look at other women. Wherever it is, it is our hobby. And we go on the internet and we look at porn and filth and dirt. And we don't even think of it as a guna. No toba. There is a great fear there. Allah save us all. That when you die, your iman is taken away from you. So if you get relieved of that, what enjoyment in life you will get. If you got pride in you, nobody likes you also. And just in front of you, because you got pride, people will praise you and do what you want to do. But behind your back, and you will come to know they're talking bad about you. Eh? But if you get humbleness, see the respect people will give. And what an enjoyment you will get from every side, how people will give you respect and people will serve you when you have humbleness. You do things for name and show, to show the people, nobody likes such a person. Allah doesn't like such a person. But you got sincerity and you hide your actions and you are humble and you're doing it only for Allah's pleasure. Then see how Allah puts your love in the hearts of the people. So our spiritual diseases, we have to realize. And also, as Maulana was explaining this morning, as long as a person is in a state of denial, and that is common with drug addicts, with alcoholics, they say, we got no problem. You'll never take your treatment. The day you acknowledge I got a problem, that is the starting point. And many of us don't want to acknowledge also. And that person who feels I got no sickness, he's the most sick person. Because every person has got sickness in him. Spiritual illness, we all have got. And when you acknowledge it, and you are prepared to take treatment, now you will take treatment. And then you will get relieved of it. So this is a very, very important thing, and from our spiritual diseases. For that tomorrow, inshallah, in Pine Ridge, Juma Masjid, there will be an Islahi Jalsa on this subject, from Asr till Isha. Please try and come and attend there the program. Tomorrow will be the ladies' program from 10:30, I think. At Maulana's place, Maulana Ibrahim's place, send our ladies there. And then there will be a ladies' program in Pine Ridge in the afternoon also. And then the Islahi Jalsa from Asr to Maghrib, so to Isha. So please try and come. Inshallah, we will only benefit. There is nothing to lose. And see, Mufti Shaheed Sahib is here. He is from all the way from Trinidad. He is a Mufti. Hey, and he worked and taught in the Darulun there. He taught in Trinidad and he worked 4 years in Haiti. Haiti, Allah Akbar, Maulana explains the condition. Unbelievable what conditions there. But now he has come to South Africa only for one purpose. His children are growing up for the education of his children. 6 children he wants to come and spend 5-6 years or so here. And then he wants for the children. Let us take a lesson. Our children, how are we bringing them up? We are letting them dress like non-Muslims, their clothing. We are sending them for education in schools, etc. In Montessori now, they are teaching Darwin's theory of evolution. That we were originally monkeys, na'udzubillah, then Allah made us human beings. That gradually that monkey became a human being. Kufr, total kufr. Allah Ta'ala says, خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. I created man in the best form. So all these wrong things, today university education, we give so much of importance to it. And look at Maulana, he's sacrificing from where? So that he comes here for the dini education. He's not coming here for schooling, he's not coming for the university, for that is enough in Trinidad. And they got Darulums also, madrasas, but he feels his sheikh advised him, go to South Africa for your children's education. So we should take inspiration from this, we should take a lesson from this. That people are coming here at the Darulums, all our Darulums, students from around the world are coming for dini education. And our children, we're sending them to universities. And what environment at the universities. One close doctor friend of mine wanted to admit his student, his son, at a, not his daughter, his son, at a university in South Africa. When he went there, he said, what I saw, I thought I'm in Europe. And what evil environment there is, the dressing of the girls, the dressing of the boys, the intermingling, like free. Not a nudist camp really, but what the worst things happening there. He says, I must put my son intentionally and I must pay to put him into Jahannam. I'm not prepared to do that. And so this is that environment in which we're putting our children. And people from outside, and not only Mufti Sahib, there are other people also who have come to Azadpur and to other Darulums, and they've come to live here for 5-6 years just for the education of their children. So let us take inspiration. Don't let it be dark under the candle. Hey, that the candle's light is going in the whole world, and under the candle it is dark. We don't take advantage, and we don't take benefit from this. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So tomorrow, inshallah, please try and come to the program in World Bank also, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام خيرا وبالمسلمين خيرا فوفقه كل الخير
ومن أراد بالإسلام الشر وبالمسلمين الشر فأهلكه كما أهلك عاد وثمود. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روآتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Also always thank God for our pioneers and ancestors. And we know from 40 years which to come, which is grandfather, we should call Abu Bakr. Haji Abu, this masjid he built with what, and the darulum he made, and he made wasiyah, it must carry on always. So all, and many other people, all who took part, may Allah reward them, fill their qabrs with nur, and let us always acknowledge, and also walk on this Mubarak path, inshallah.